This is Amateur Logic, episode 197, for September 13th, 2024. Amateur Logic is brought to you by ICOM. Heard it, worked it, logged it. Keep your competitive contesting edge with ICOM. Welcome to another Amateur Logic. I'm George.
I'm Jason. I mean Tommy.
Meal.
And I'm Mike.
And it's a special Friday the 13th episode again. Tommy went to wardrobe.
Yeah. Got decked out here for the mood, trying to get in the spirit of things.
Yep.
You're really killing it, Tommy.
Yep. You are too, Emil. What is going on down there?
Well, George, I'm a Hurricane Francine victim. I was victimized. Now that I'm down in Mississippi with you guys, we got rolled over by a hurricane, as you might have seen, and I'm still in the impacted zone at the moment.
Isn't that up in Mississippi from where you were?
Yeah, for me, yes. It is further up, but from their perspective, it's down in Mississippi.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's utility power in your area now, just not in your house.
That's right, George. Yeah. The Hurricane Francine did a number on one of my electrical sub-panels, and the parts are on their way.
Tommy, what you been up to? What's been going on?
I've been out of town a lot. 2 weeks, almost 2 full weeks, so I haven't really done a lot of hamming. I played around with my GMRS stuff I showed last month before, I think, because we did
one of those
FS stuff last month.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I did play around with that stuff a little bit. That's about it.
Email. Well, we know about the hurricane. Other than that.
Well, other than that, as you heard, you know, I'm down in Mississippi with you guys. Join you down here in Picayune, Mississippi. Just moved in, trying to get settled in, and nothing like a hurricane rolling through and messing that up. But enough of the negative stuff, positive stuff. I became a grandpa recently.
Yeah.
And I have been enjoying the new newborn there, and we're still supporting him because he's in the hospital with mom and dad. And, of course, we're supporting mom and dad. So, but thank you guys for all your thoughts and prayers, Tommy, Mike, and George. And we'll keep that support train going and get them out of there.
We'll keep them coming, too, man.
Welcome to the Paw Paw Club.
They got a name for me already, and I'm not going to say it here because I know that's going to start something with Mike.
It'll stick. It'll stick.
It'll leak out. Just wait.
You're going to tell us the little lad's name?
Elliot. Elliot is 1.5 months old, and like I said, he's still over at the hospital in New Orleans, and they survived the hurricane that came through New Orleans, and because, you know, those guys, there's a lot of power outages in New Orleans still, and in our southern Louisiana, Houma and Morgan City areas and St. Charles, and you know, they got hit pretty bad. And we were on the eastern side of the storm here in Picayune, and that wind did a number on the electrical utility over this way, too. So,
now, in Picayune, don't they have a big billboard on the side of the road there that says, "Welcome to Picayune, home of Don Wilbanks"?
I don't know about the Don Wilbanks part, but the sign is there on exit 4, yes.
Okay.
Actually, when Emil first mentioned that he moved to Picayune, I kind of just assumed that he got kicked out of the house and had to live on Don Wilbanks' couch for a while.
Or out in one of his cars. Yeah, in his police cruiser.
Yeah. I do want to meet his dog. I've seen some of the videos of his little pup. It seems like a little nice pup.
Yeah.
Mike, what's been going on up there?
Well, I think I mentioned last month, it's the busiest time of the year for me at work anyway, and got some projects happening around the house, And I'm not going to reveal it right now, but hopefully we'll be able to get some pictures for you soon.
Well, what's been going on with me? I've just been busy.
Well, I was going to ask, what has been going on with you?
Well, I built a little project we're going to look at here in a little bit. It was fun. It's one that I had collected the parts on a few months ago and finally got around to putting it together. Unlike some of those other projects I bought the parts for two or three years ago.
Still there.
Yeah. You might notice the table has gotten crowded here since the last episode.
Yes. Yeah. Seem to notice that.
What could that possibly mean?
Well, it's that time of the year.
You mean anniversary time, birthday time?
Yeah, both.
Amateur Logic's going to be turning 19.
19 years old.
Next month.
Ooh-wee.
And
we can do
two more years, we'll be old enough to drink.
Yep. We got a radio, thanks to ICOM. IC705. We gave one away last year.
The year before, too, I believe.
The year before, too, yeah. We got another one for this year, and it could be yours, not yours.
Mine?
No. Oh, I'm pointing at myself. I mean, me looking here, it looks like it. But no, I'm pointing at the audience out there. We'll have all the details later in the show as to what's going on. But, you know, we got some other things to go with it as well. We've got an Intellitron power supply, some Massey and Paoloni, I think that's how you pronounce it.
Sounds
Email could probably do better than me on that. Okay. Massey and Paoloni coax, and we've got an Intellitron antenna down there at the bottom. We'll be looking at all that stuff a little bit later, though, to fill it out. That is courtesy of Gigaparts.
Yeah.
And they've got three new exclusive lines of products that they have added. We'll be telling you a little more about that later on in the show, plus how Amateur Logic viewers could save a little bit, like 5% on those products.
Emil's ears perked up right there.
Yep. Bill wants me to remind the people that the Slidell Hamfest is moved. It was supposed to be this weekend, right, Emil?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was. The Hurricane Francine put a damper on the travel, especially from the west over our way, you know, so they decided to move it back to November, if I'm right. You have those dates?
November.
Yes, in November.
Yeah, 15th. Well, let's get on into the, is it an email? Is it a post? What is it, Tommy?
It's actually a Facebook post. It's actually from my friend Terry, usually in the chat room. You've seen him on here before. He says, well, once again, Amateur Logic has me spending money, LOL. I took this out portable using my Yaesu FT891 at 25 watts, worked for what seemed like ages, and still came home with 42% battery remaining. Impressed. Yeah, it's a nice device, man. I use mine quite often, actually. I don't have the bag, though. I don't know where that came from, but I'd like, wouldn't mind having that bag for mine, too. It's pretty cool.
280 IPK, huh, Tommy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I should have done that. Yeah, thanks, Emil.
All right.
Well, let's get on into the videos for tonight. I mentioned I had a project that I've been waiting on for quite a while.
Yeah.
A bench power supply can be a very handy thing to have. I have two of them, and I'm about to have a third. All of mine are homemade or modified from other supplies, but this is the first time I've done one with a computer power supply. Recently, I had a couple of machines I was rebuilding, and the supplies that were in them were these Thermaltake 700-watt supplies. 700 watts, that's a fair amount of power. Thermaltake, a reputable brand. Specs on this thing, well, it's got 3.3 volts at 20 amps. It's got 5 volts at 17 amps. 12 volts at 50 amps. Minus 12 at 0.34 amps, and a plus 5 at 2.5 amps. That's one that's there full time. I don't typically need 3.3 volts. I'm not going to worry about that. Having 5 volts and 12 volts will be handy. Negative 12, Not so much these days would I need that, and it's only 340 milliamps, so I'm not going to worry with it. And, of course, I don't need this other 5 volts out here since I've got 17 amps on this one. I'm going to convert this thing for bench use. Few steps. There's not that much to it. We're going to tear out all the cables that are in it right now. I'm going to remove the fan so I've got room to work in there. Take the case off. Mount a couple of things. These right here, banana sockets. I bought these off of Amazon. I don't remember. It was a set of 4. Wasn't much money. And no, these are not gold-plated. That's some type of gold anodized on there. But they seem to be pretty decent. So I'm going to use those. A couple of these volt ammeters. Going to stick those in there, one on the 5-volt supply. Now, this will only go up to 10 amps. That's the highest it'll read. I'm going to have to limit my 5-volt consumption to 10 amps, but that'll be okay. Same thing on the 12-volt side. I'll have one of these, and I'm going to, well, do one pair of outlets that run through the meter. That'll be for up to 10 amps. And I'm going to do a second set of jacks on there so that we can have 50 amps, and it won't run through this meter, so there won't be that limit on it. There's a variety of these with different voltages and currents. The ones I bought are the DSN VC288 DC 100 volts, 10 amp. They all look the same from the front, but they are not. The one in the photo is what I'm using. It is a version 2. There are 2 potentiometers on the board. One is to adjust the voltage. The other to adjust the current display so that you can make them read whatever your reference voltmeter and ammeter read. These things don't track perfectly, though. I can put it on the voltage and the current that my Fluke meters show and get it right on those, but as the voltage changes, it doesn't track the Fluke exactly. It's not too far off, so use this thing more as a reference and not for accurate measurement purposes. Now, I used the version 2 that had the voltage and the current adjustments on the board. This is a version 1 right here. Looks the same from the front. It only has a voltage adjustment on it, no current adjustment. It also has a different size of shunt resistor. This is what they use on these. Some of these, particularly the higher current ones, will have what looks like a big piece of copper wire in there for a shunt. Or the shunt might actually be separate because you got to measure current in series. So all the current that you're drawing has got to run through that resistor. So we need to limit it to 10 amps. Don't exceed that or you're going to burn that up. I purchased mine at Amazon. There's a wide variety of prices on these, so pay attention to what you're going to buy. And I don't know that I would necessarily buy the $2 or $3 ones. I spent a little more on these, but they weren't very much. Now here's how we're going to wire this in. Looking at the top, you got the power supply going into it. The plus voltage goes straight on to your load. The ground, or negative, goes into the black wire on the meter. Then there's a red wire on the meter that goes up to the negative on the load. The smaller wires are what run the meter. The larger wires go in series with your voltage so that it can measure current. So I tied the red and the yellow wires together, connected that to the positive on the power supply, and the small black ground wire I did not use. Doing it this way, you're using the power from the power supply to operate the volt ammeter. In the bottom circuit, you can use a separate supply, and that will give you a little better regulation on your voltage measurements. There's a diagram on how you would wire that. I chose not to do that because I didn't have a separate isolated power supply that I was going to use for this project. One other thing that you might use for this, it was recommended, is an 8-ohm resistor, a large power resistor. This is 20 watts. I think they recommended 50. The instructable I was following said to put an 8-ohm resistor from the 5-volt supply to ground, and that would help stabilize regulation of the voltage. And I did try that. It had some effect, but it didn't stabilize it down as much as I would hope. It really just generated a lot more heat than I needed with this particular supply. And since it only changed a few tenths of a volt, I decided this was not worth it, so I left that out. Here's the cover from the power supply. I have taken out the fan and decided where I'm going to mount things. I'm going to use 3 of these pairs of banana jacks. And I'm going to mount 2 of these volt ammeters. I'll put those 2 across the bottom. And I'll put the 3 banana jacks across the top here. I used a piece of graph paper and drew out where I want everything mounted as a template so I'll know where to drill the holes. I'm going to take a glue stick, and since I know that it will clean off okay with 409 spray cleaner, I've already tested that. I'm just going to put some of that on the case here to hold down that template real good. I'll use a punch and a hammer to put a little dimple everywhere I want to drill. Even a cheap Harbor Freight drill press is better than no drill press, and that's what I'm going to use. These banana jacks have a couple of little plates that they mount on. Those plates have little rings built on them right here that are designed to go inside the hole to keep it from sliding around, because you don't want these contacts getting up against the metal. So these are insulators. It just so happens to the next to the last step on this particular bit is just the right size. This hole needs to be deburred. I had never used one of these before. This is from AFA Tooling. I bought this, I believe, off Amazon. Don't remember what it cost, maybe in the $20 range. Comes with a number of little bits here. They spin around in the tool. They've got a fairly sharp edge to it, but it's hardened steel. So you can take this and run it around that hole a few times, and that will cut those burrs off the other side. To cut the rectangle hole, I used a Dremel tool. Followed the lines carefully that I had drawn in there previously. Instead of a vise, I used a couple of sawhorses here with a 2x4 and C-clamps to hold that steady while I saw it through. I've ripped out all the PC wiring. I had some of these hole plugs, so I put that over the hole just to cover it up so a finger won't get up in there. I've taken out the fan so that I could work. I have mounted 3 pair of the banana sockets there. I've mounted the 2 meters below, and I've labeled it. This first is the 5-volt supply. Now, while it's got more current than this, I'm labeling it as 10 amps because that's all that this meter can pass right here. Here's a 12-volt at 10 amp that's passing through this meter. And here's a 12-volt at 50 amp. It's not metered, so I can get the full current out of the supply. And that should do most of what I want to do. I would like to have a buck boost regulator on here. However, there just wasn't room in this cabinet to add it. By the time the fan is back in here, it's packed full. So I got to thinking about it. Well, I really wouldn't even need that in this same cabinet. I can have a buck boost regulator separately in another cabinet and just plug it into the power supply voltage that I want to feed it with. Right here is where all the wires came out, and it's labeled on the PC board on this supply. We've got the ground, and we've got the +5, We've got 12 volts, minus 12, everything you need. Here's where the fan was plugged in. I'm going to put the fan back in now. I ripped out all the old wiring with the exception of this green wire. This is the one that switches the power supply on. That might be different on your supply. I connected that green wire to ground. So whenever the power switch is turned on this unit, the power supply will come right on. The wiring was a little tight in here. Not too terribly bad. I used some bigger gauge wire for the 50-amp socket. I used some smaller gauge wire for the 10-amp ones because that's what came off the current sample here on the meter. I'm going to put the fan in here, put this thing back together, and let's see what we got. Let me say, be very careful. Never work on one of these when you've got the AC voltage supplied to it. Also, these larger capacitors can store a little bit of charge in them, so be careful. And here's the finished product. All put back together. It fit. It was very tight, but it did fit together. Looks okay. Let's turn it on and see what happens. Comes right up as expected, 5 volts, not drawing any current right now. 12.3 volts, not drawing any current, nothing's hooked up to it yet. I put a tail light bulb across each of the terminals and had my Fluke meter connected in series, and then I adjusted the current samples. Of course, I did the voltage samples as well, so they all match my Fluke meter. As I mentioned, when you start putting a load on here, the regulation is not perfect, so it will sag a little bit as you load it harder, although it's not a tremendous amount, just a few tenths of a volt. However, the voltmeters get off a few tenths as well. So there you go, an almost free power supply. The power supply itself was free. I only bought the terminals and the volt ammeters. And that's it. So we'll see in the future how this works out. And as I mentioned, I'll probably add a buck boost converter in a separate cabinet. That way I can reduce the voltage and increase the voltage. I'll try this out in the future on some projects. I'm trying to run a rig off of this. Really, your rig wants 13.8 volts. 12 volts is a little low, and it's going to drop to, probably 11.7, maybe 11.5 volts when you load it with a rig. So it's not really enough to be used with an amateur rig.
It does look really nice. It's I was kind of curious to see it. I bought parts to do a similar project to this probably 3 or 4 years ago, but I hadn't got around to it yet. So you beat me to it.
Yeah.
I'm a real big fan of those five-way binding posts.
Yes, those are great. These do have the holes down in the post. A lot of them don't. So
yeah, I don't like the ones without the holes so much. Right.
Me neither. Yeah, I've got another one of those. So I have a pair of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You made that. This one looks a lot nicer, though.
Well, that other one is just a gutted case. There's nothing from a PC power supply except the switch and the AC socket.
Oh, that's when you put the transformer in, isn't it?
Yeah.
I remember that. That's been a while.
Yeah.
And George, I have to commend you on your choice of drill presses and cost.
Thank you. Yeah, I think that was $50-something dollars when I bought it.
Harbor Freight,
yeah.
Yeah, I got one.
And,
was even considered.
You pull down on the handle, and you can see that bit, kind of
wobbling like that.
But it's better than I can do
with
a hand drill. And
It
goes, the bits seem a lot sharper when I use them in there.
Yeah, if you do a punch and put it down in there, that helps. So.
Yeah, I did.
You used to have all your fingers.
Yes, it didn't look like I would if you were watching from the angle. It looked like my hand was, right on the bit there, but no, it was back a little bit.
And I guess we won't see clips of that video in any of the OSHA health and safety videos, right?
And boys and girls, don't try this at home. We're amateurs.
It's Friday the 13th.
Yep. Oh, it is, isn't it? Yeah. You need to wear one of those when you're using that drill press.
Yeah, you need to wear something.
Yeah.
Actually, I do wear eye protection every time I use it.
Well, Mike, you have been working on something up there.
I have. What I have here is a bunch of 18650 batteries that I've salvaged from laptop battery packs. And I've just kind of been accumulating them over the years. And I thought, well, I've probably accumulated about 40 of the things. And I thought I might be able to find a better use for them other than them just sitting on my shelf. I've used the odd one for projects, but they've only been like onesies and twosies. Many of you have these APC uninterruptible power supplies, and I have a few of them around the house. And frankly, I got tired of buying sealed lead acid batteries for them. They're actually valve regulated sealed lead acid. The 750 volt amp models that I have use two of those in series, so it's a 24 volt system. So each of these are 12-volt batteries at 7 amps, and they typically only last me about 3 years before I have to replace them. And if I have to count the number of times that I've actually had a power outage, that cost is pretty high. So I found these on Temu. It's basically the same dimensions as one of those common 12-volt, 7-ampere-hour lead-acid batteries that are used in probably a good portion of UPSs out there. And it's a kit. It comes with a small BMS board. It comes with the nickel strips and actually the holders, ABS holders for the cells. I just chose green so that once it was built, I would automatically know visually that it wasn't your typical run-of-the-mill valve-regulated sealed lead-acid battery. And actually, if you picked it up anyway, they're going to be a lot lighter than the other ones. So anyway, it comes with pretty much everything you need. Now, the only dilemma I have is, you know, whether how I'm going to connect all those cells together. So I thought about doing, you know, going the route and buying one of those fancy little spot welders for those batteries, but they're quite expensive, and if you read the reviews, they're not all that great. So I'm gonna try soldering them and liberally applying liquid solder flux to it when I try to solder them, because the terminals of the cells themselves, I think, are kind of nickel, and those strips are nickel, of course, and they don't take to solder that well. So. All right. Stay tuned. One other thing I should mention, I have this, I have a few of them, and I know Tommy has a couple too, these little XR lithium-ion battery chargers. They also perform a kind of a quality check. You can run a cell in there, and it will give kind of like whatever, it'll read whatever the cat capacity is off the battery. So before I hook these batteries up, I'm going to grade them, and I'll probably choose the ones that give me the highest output, being that it's going to be used in an UPS application. So that's what I've been working on.
Okay.
Interesting. Be curious to see how your soldering project comes out.
Yeah, that's going to be the trickiest part of it is. And we were kind of talking offline about you have to be very, very careful when soldering these cells, because you don't want to short them out. You know, it's very close proximity. I don't know if you can see that, but there's a little insulating washer. It's black. And the rest of the case of the battery itself is the negative. So here's a different one that's got a green insulator. There's not a lot of space in there, and you don't want to short those out.
You've got your batteries. and that's a case that holds the batteries, and it's got the BMS, so you're going to just be able to put those batteries in there, hook up the BMS. It's going to be able to just replace the batteries inside the UPS.
Correct.
And not burn anything up.
That's the plan.
And does it get longer life when you do that than the lead acid?
I would tend to think the lifespan of a lithium ion battery is going to be much better than the valve regulated sealed lead acid.
They definitely are.
Well, I want to see how that comes out.
Get a lot more duty cycle.
Can't really give you a good picture of this, but this is the BMS board here. So anyway, stay tuned.
Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a minute because we got more to talk about here.
Keep your competitive contesting edge with ICOM. ICOM's high-powered base stations cut through polyps, letting you work the bends and record those contacts. Contest from the comfort of your home or remotely with the RSBA1 app. Heard it, worked it, logged it. ICOM heard the call and answered. The ICPW2 is here. Take your contesting experience to the next level with ICOM's industry-first linear amplifier, which includes DPD, digital predistortion, and a built-in 2x6 automatic antenna selector for SO2R single operator 2 radio operation. With the IC7610, faint signals are no longer challenging for DXers and contesters. This high-performance SDR radio changed the world's definition of an SDR transceiver. This high-powered base station features an RF direct sampling system, 110 dB RMDR that can pick out the faintest of signals, even in the presence of stronger adjacent signals, an independent dual receiver, dual digicell, and more. This is the SDR every ham wants. For more information about ICOM's amateur radios and to locate a dealer, visit icomamerica.com/amateur today. For the love of ham radio.
Thanks, ICOM, for sponsoring Amateur Logic.
Absolutely.
Now, we're going to be talking a little more about this radio we're giving away here shortly. But first, a couple of things we want to go through here. I've got an email.
A real live email?
A real?
The genuine thing. Email.
Right. This came from my friend Bruce, N7XGR. George, a couple episodes back, you told of a good find at a ham fest. I was a regular at flea market here locally and found a Simpson 260 Series 6 multimeter with case. That's like a major prize there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Especially when you hear the rest of this. I noticed the sticker on the back had a 2 on it. I gave the guy $2 and walked away.
Wow.
When I got back to the SUV, I hooked up the test leads to check out the meter movement on the SUV battery, and it moved just fine. I took the back off and found no batteries, and it was totally clean inside.
Hmm.
At home, I put the batteries in and checked out the ohms, and that also checked out okay. The leads were crap, so I found an exact replacement set of Simpson test leads. A total investment was less than $30. Eagle eyes can be rewarding. Bruce, N7XGR.
That's a nice find, Bruce, and a great price. That's a cheap old man approved.
Yeah, this is my Simpson 260 Series 7. This is a 260M. It's got the mirrored scale on it. This is like my pride and joy. Look how shiny it is. Some guy was here at the Ham Fest locally and had a table full of refurbished Simpson 260s a few years back.
He's always had those.
Yep. So I was happy to pick it up. I don't remember what I paid for it, but it was, I think I paid around $70.
Yeah.
But for a refurbished one, and everything's great on it, I couldn't complain because it's practically like a brand new one.
I got one that's in the leather case, and it was donated to me for free.
Wow. That's
one of the viewers of the show gave it
to me. It didn't even cost you $2 like it did Bruce. There's one other thing that Bruce mentioned about that. He found something here that looks pretty nice because my only complaint with this meter that's got the reverse banana plugs in here. Instead of this being a male, it's a female. The male is up there inside a hole, so you can't hardly find the test leads that will fit this. Bruce found something, though, on eBay. I think you get 5 pair of those, and it's female-to-female adapters, so you can plug a couple of those down in the holes on the meter and then plug a regular set of test leads into it. It's like,
oh, that's a cool find.
$9.06.
For enough of them to last you 2 lifetimes.
Pretty much. Why they did it that way, I can only...
So you can have to order the special leads.
Yeah. I guess it would be very hard to shock yourself with that because it's way down in there. Something here I wanted to talk about. We may have talked about this before. Tommy says we didn't.
I don't remember talking about this.
This is 100 foot of silicone insulated wire. You've seen this wire, I know, because
yeah,
you bought some afterwards.
It's in my cart.
You haven't? Okay. Real flexible stuff. It's almost like test lead instrument cable. Very flexible. I got a noise problem here. I used to not, but now there's some kind of AC buzzing noise I have not been able to track down. It's been getting progressively worse for the last 2 years to the point where sometimes certain bands on HF are just pretty much unusable for me because the noise is so strong. And I got to reading around and I ran across an article where a guy laid a 100-foot loop of wire on the ground. And he used a 9-to-1 balun on it, which is what I got right here, and hooked it up on his HF rig. Very low signal. The S meter was just tiny. You know, no S9 readings. Everything's down around S1 or S2 when you do that, if you're laying this on the ground. But the noise went away. So you had a better signal-to-noise ratio, even though the signal was tiny. Without any noise, I could actually lay 100 foot of wire on the ground and copy better than I can on my 80-meter loop up here in the air.
Transmitting would be a bit of a problem, though, wouldn't it?
No, you don't transmit with it.
It's strictly.
The only problem is I can't leave that laying on the ground. If I lay it in this part of the yard, my neighbor's going to mow it. If I lay it in the backyard, I'm going to run over it with the mower. So, I have to lay it out there when I want to use it. So I had a wise idea of something I wanted to try is putting up a remote receiver. Now, I've done some experimenting with that, and I've come up with a solution I think is going to work for me. It's a Raspberry Pi 4B. This is actually the 8-gigabyte model.
Yeah.
I splurged on this one and got the biggest and best you could get.
You know Emil's back this time.
And next, like a week after that, they came out with the Raspberry Pi 5.
Oh.
So... But I've got this, and it's pretty fast. And I bought one of these little Noelec NESDR Smarts. And this one goes down into HF, so I don't have to use any kind of converter with it. It goes from HF on up in, I don't know, gigahertz, maybe two. I don't remember the upper end.
1.2 gigs, probably.
1.2, that sounds about right. So I set it up on the Raspberry Pi here. Now you can get Raspberry Pi Connect for free. You install that on your Raspberry Pi, then you can take a browser from anywhere. Don't have to do any port forwarding or anything. You can just get in a browser and you can connect to your Pi. And it's only, I think maybe it's only 64-bit. OSs that will work with, but I've put that on here, so I'm taking this, and I've already experimented with it. We've got a home up north of here that's out in the country,
Where we did field day.
Where we did field day. Set this up there. And instead of laying that wire on the ground, I hung it up in a tree back there. But I can use anything for an antenna. And there's really virtually no noise around there. And set up this as a remote receiver and stream it back over the internet and listen to it here. Transmit off my regular loop in the backyard, but listening over the internet.
How's the latency, though?
When I originally did this, I used IceCast and ran an IceCast server on my machine here that I just run when I want to do this. And then used a client called Butt, B-U-T-T, on here. And streamed the audio. It was about 30 seconds. So if you just wanted to spin around and listen to things, it worked okay. But if you needed to do it in pretty much real time where you could hold an actual conversation, or QSO, it was impractical. And I got to thinking about it. That Rig Pi, he was using the Mumble server on there.
Uh-huh.
So I installed Mumble on here. Set up a server on my desktop, and I can connect to it that way, and we're talking like just testing here in the shack's like half a second.
Oh, nice.
So that's going to be usable. So I wanted to do that last weekend. Something came up, and I wasn't able to go up there, but hopefully soon I'll get this up and let you know how that actually works out in real life.
That's really cool. Pretty interesting. Yeah. Got the matching ballon, too. That's pretty nice.
Yeah. And to do that for 400 feet, you need a 9-to-1. And I see that appears to be a pretty popular ballon. I see a lot of them with receivers. Yeah.
When it's on the ground, mm-hmm. what you were talking about before, you said it's in like a circle, like a loop?
Yeah, you need to try to make it as big a circle or a rectangle or whatever. Cover the maximum area that you can with it.
Okay.
Yep. But it surprised me. I read the article and I said, well, that can't be right, but you got me hooked. I'm going to see what happens. And it works, really works.
That's cool.
We're going to be right back, and we're going to tell you about this contest coming up and how you might win all these great prizes right here.
At the end of each month, it's Amateur Logic's Ham College, the new show for those new to the hobby and those wanting to get into amateur radio.
Which of the following is a purpose of the amateur radio service as stated in the FCC rules and regulations?
That inductor and capacitor form a tuned circuit. That's how you tune the radio to the frequency that you want. The English language.
We lived in town. I liked it. I listened to mine a lot. It was really cool because you didn't have to have a battery to power them.
There's our homemade telegraph station. We can use it for long-distance communications, 3 feet here?
Yeah, across the table.
The answer is B. Voltage was named after Italian physicist Alessandro Volta.
We can see we're generating a little bit of electricity there. It's DC.
It's always great to go back and get a refresher.
It sure is.
A lot of that stuff, if you've been a ham for a while like we have, you don't really think about a lot of that stuff that often.
They didn't have electric screwdrivers in those days, so that's why we're not using one.
That's why we went primitive with it.
Yeah. So let's see if we can hear anything when we fire off our spark gap transmitter. Well, we didn't build anything or blow up anything today, but...
The night's still young.
Let's talk a little bit about our contest. You know, Amateur Logic has been on the air or on the wire, maybe that's a better term.
Yeah.
For 19 years. We were actually on the air in Australia on ATV for...
They may still be doing that.
I don't know. I was hoping it was going to be 20 years, but it's 19. So we got another whole year to go to get 20.
Yeah.
But we're one of the first podcasts, video podcasts, period. Not just on amateur radio, but period. There weren't many doing it. I can only think of one or two other podcasts that really had anything to do with ham radio that are still around. Well, that's all of us. There weren't any more.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's hard to believe it's been 19 years.
It is.
And I promise you, I know I've said this before, but I remember sitting over in that other building against that wall doing that thing just like it was yesterday, just as plain. It doesn't seem like that at all.
No. And, yeah, you and Jim the Torch and I sitting there shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And, you know, we could reach out and touch the wall on either side of the building because it...
Reading off that teleprompter? For one time.
One time. That's all it
didn't,
took.
That did not work for us.
No, did not work at all. Anyway, next month we're going to be celebrating the 19th anniversary. That show is going to be coming up, is it, what date is that? The 18th, October 18th. That'll be the next Amateur Logic. We're going to be giving away a prize package here to celebrate. We've got a great package lined up this year. To top it off, it's the ICOM IC705.
My favorite radio.
HF 6 meters, 2 meters, and 440. Multimode portable transceiver. Base station performance and features in the palm of your hand, whether you're taking your hobby to SOTA, POTA, or some other on-the-air location, the IC705 will be your go-to rig, and it is your go-to rig, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I like it a lot. Yeah. So.
You can enjoy a variety of bands, the D-Star, DV, SSB, CW, RIDI, AM, FM modes, and it receives continuously from 30 kilohertz through the 144 megahertz band. And it'll also, it does UHF too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
You can enjoy FM broadcast and airband reception on it as well. And it's got ICOM's RF direct sampling system in it. So it is a true SDR where RF signals are directly converted to digital data. Real-time spectrum scope and waterfall display. That, is that helpful to you?
Oh, yeah, it's awesome. If you see signals on there and you want to check it out, you just touch it, and it'll just take you right to it. Pretty amazing. It will really spoil you if you get used to using that.
Oh, it's hard to use a radio without that once you've had it. It's also got a large 4.3-inch color touchscreen display, and that's the same size as the one on the 7300, I believe.
It's also got wireless LAN, and I think it can connect to time server also.
Yeah, and Bluetooth as well.
Bluetooth, yeah. So on field day, this was my field day rig last few years, and I used a little Bluetooth headset with mine. So I never didn't have any wire. I could get up, walk around, make my contacts while I wasn't even sitting there in front of the radio. It's pretty nice.
Micro SD card slot.
You can save your QSOs. You can back up your settings.
Mm-hmm.
And you can actually use it to update the firmware as well.
Cool.
And for us old timers, it's got twin passband tuning on it.
It does.
Oh, it does, yeah. Micro USB connector.
You can hook that up to the computer. It'll actually charge the battery when you're not transmitting.
Mm-hmm.
But it'll also, your radio has a sound card built in. It'll show up in your computer as a sound device. And you can use software like FT8, things like that with it. The radio's even got presets for FT8 in it.
And can you remotely control, can you control the radio from a computer using that?
I have not tried doing that.
I bet you can.
I bet you can too.
Yep. D-Star functions.
Got to hit the DR. And then you can go through, find your repeater list, and use the GPS. Actually, the GPS is also used for that, so you can find your near repeater.
We
don't have any GPS inside this metal building.
Yeah.
But you can do that and find your repeater list, and makes when you're traveling easy to find a D-Star repeater close by. It actually does FM as well.
So, you say repeater. So, is this only on 2 meter and 440, or can you use D-Star on the HF bands with it?
You can use D-Star on any of the bands with it.
Okay.
But these are set up for that, but you can go into DR mode, DV mode.
Okay.
On HF, so you would go DR. DV mode, D-Star on HF.
Okay, cool. Programmable speaker mic.
Yeah. Nice little mic. It's actually got a little weight to it. It doesn't feel like a little cheap, flimsy speaker mic such you used to get a long time ago. It's a really good quality feeling mic. It's got some buttons on it. I've never programmed mine, but I always just touch the radio because it's right here, but you could if you wanted to.
And it's a compact radio that's really rugged, great for outdoor use, and a small, lightweight package. And it's only, 2.4 pounds, a little under 2.5 pounds.
That feels about right.
In portable
mode. Has anybody ever twisted Ray's arm about how many of these units they've sold over the years?
I got a feeling it's going to be a top seller.
Quite a few of them.
Yep.
I got to think it's a lot.
I think it's one of the most popular rigs ever since it came out. In portable mode, it's got a maximum output of 5 watts. From a BP-272 that's on the rear of it there.
Yep, right there. It's got basically the similar battery pack that your ID-51 52
it's the
has.
Same one, isn't it?
This one may be, but you can get a higher capacity one as well.
Okay. That can last approximately 3 hours under normal circumstances.
Yeah, it lasts pretty good.
Yeah. That's perfect for true QRP. 5 watts is... well as 0.5 watt QRPP operations.
Yeah.
You could probably go a long time on a half a watt.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
Once you've set it up, though, you can hook external power to it like we've done right here.
Yeah.
13.8 volts DCN, and you got a 10 watt radio.
Yeah. And 5 watts is fun. A lot of fun to make contacts with. You can make a lot, but 10 watts opens up your possibilities.
It's got everything.
The radio's got everything. And I've said before, I'll say it again, if I had to get rid of, heaven forbid, I have to get rid of all my radios and go down to one, this is the one that I would keep.
Yeah.
Because it's got everything.
There's a couple of, there's more than a couple, but at least 2 notable optional accessories you can get for that. Now, we're not giving those away, but...
yeah.
You've got them handy because you have one of these radios.
Yeah, that's how I could claim it's my favorite one. But they got the tuner, the AH705 tuner that you can get with it.
And that's a memory tuner, too. So once you tune up on a band, it remembers it doesn't require power after that, right?
Right.
The radio hooks in here?
Yeah, there's a cable that goes from here to the BNC on the radio, and then the antenna goes here, ground here if you want.
Counterpoise, I guess, if you were using that type of antenna. Cool, and there's another popular accessory for that radio as well that you happen to have.
Yeah, I do. The bag.
Speaking of portable.
I don't remember the model number for the bag. I guess I should have looked that up. But this little bag is awesome.
Actually, I just happen to know that is an LC-192.
Yeah.
It's an optional backpack.
That sounds like it's about right.
Mm-hmm. Ideal for field operation. And there's quarter 20...
yeah, there's a quarter 20 thread on the bottom, same one like on the bottom of your camera, and it kind of screws in. It's got a little leather strap to the bottom that kind of keeps it from falling out if it were to. It's a good little fit in there. I've got my microphone tucked in mine right there right now, but and you can actually leave it in there and feed the antenna through if you wanted to, the coax cable through.
And there's a place to put your sandwich in here?
Yep, I've got all my goodies in there.
Your Dagwood sandwich.
I carry my tuner stays in there. Then I've got a microfiber cloth to keep it clean, a little bag of battery. Got a rubber duck whip in there if I want to get on. Not going to quite fit.
2 meters or 440?
2 meters or 440.
You're saying
star,
so my camera's the wrong wavelength.
Yep. And then I got a little bag of all my connectors in here.
Yeah.
Power. And here's my Bluetooth headset I was talking about. I used with it on field day. And a roll of wire to suspend my antenna in there. Or
rope
to suspend the antenna in there. So somebody's going to end up with a great little radio and some other goods to go with it, right?
Yeah, and if they want a backpack or a tuner, those are available options.
They are? They're not absolutely necessary, though. I used it without it for a while, but they were out of stock.
I have an answer to your other question, too. You all were talking about remote control. I know ICOM's RSVA-1 definitely works with the 705 for remote control in it. I'm pretty sure the 705, I think if you look at their matrix, it does all but two of the all of the features. So looks like it's got everything in there.
Cool. Okay. What does it, and that's with a USB connection?
I wouldn't, you know, that radio has LAN, Bluetooth, and USB, so I'll bet you it does quite. I don't know exactly what they are, and the matrix is on ICOM America's site for that RSBA1, and that 705 has all but two of those entries on that matrix from what I remember.
You might want a power supply to go along with that. You don't need it, especially if you're going to be out portable. What would be a good power supply that we should give away with this radio?
I'm glad you asked me that question, because I would recommend the Intellitron PS2230 MLB 30 amp switching power supply.
What a coincidence.
Just happen to have one handy.
Can you tell us anything about it?
Well, it's 13.8 voltage. The voltage regulation is under 2%, so it's very stable. You've got a maximum of 30 amps output. It's short circuit protected and automatic current limiting. So if you exceed 30 amps, it's going to shut itself down safely. The ripple is very low ripple. It's 80 millivolts peak to peak at full load. And it's fused at 8 amps. It's got a dual function volt current meter, which is backlit. And it's very lightweight at 3.5 pounds.
It has binding post on the rear of it there that you can connect a radio to. And it's got a cigarette lighter plug. And it does say, I looked at the instruction manual, and it says, don't plug a cigarette lighter in there. I don't even know if you can find a cigarette lighter anymore.
Probably not.
But anyway, you know, accessories that take that, you know, that made for your car.
Yeah.
You could charge your cell phone battery off of that with one of those or whatever you got. This knob right here, and, you know, it makes you think adjustable voltage, because other power supplies that look similar to this, this was adjustable voltage.
Right.
That's not what it is on this one. It's a noise offset.
Yeah, it's an offset. It says noise offset.
And that's the first time I've seen this. And what we think it does, and we haven't measured it to see, is, you know, a switching power supply could have a little hash coming out of it. Although we've used some of the other ones before and never noticed that issue with them. But this, we're thinking, allows it to change the switching frequency.
Well, it does say that it's tailored to reduce noise, particularly for communication.
So,
and that any potential noise can be negated using that noise offset control.
So that's what I'm thinking. It would change the switching frequency, and then that would move that noise off to another frequency, you know, from where you're listening, if you do have a noise problem. So that's interesting. I've never seen one of those before.
I've never seen one before on any other power supply, but that's pretty good thinking there, I think.
Yep.
It's a good-looking supply. Is it pretty light?
3.5 pounds.
3.5.
Oh, yeah, it's not bad at all.
Yep. And it looks similar to the MFJ supplies that we have given away in the past, but it's different.
You can tell it's different.
It's the case is actually different, so I'm thinking it's probably a different manufacturer. Yeah. But
no, I mean, all the power supplies look kind of similar. They got a meter and...
Well, I mean, a switch is a switch.
Right.
Meter's a meter.
Yeah.
But that's noise offset, so that's different.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool feature.
And it's a Teletron.
Yeah.
And Teletron's a new line of products from Gigaparts. Our friends over there, Robbie and crew and Patrick, Gigaparts in Huntsville and also in Las Vegas. With MFJ going away, you know, there were a lot of products that, when you went to a ham fest, every dealer at that ham fest had a lot of antennas, meters, power supplies, antenna switches, mm-hmm. all of this stuff was from MFJ. And, you know, with MFJ shutting down, there's going to be a little hole in the market. Well, Gigaparts is filling that with the new Intellitron line of products there. And this power supply is one of them. We've got another one here.
I bought one of their meters when I was at the store. Tell me, I'm sorry, not meter, speaker.
Yeah. Tell me about this antenna, Tommy.
That's the Intellitron PA2199S HF and VHF mobile antenna. 80 to 6 meters, 200 watts with a PL259. It operates on 10 bands.
Yeah.
80, 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, 12, 10, 6, and 2 meters. Wow. Maximum power is 200 watts. Maximum height is 49.5 inches. And it's got the built-in machine PL259 I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Looks nice. The PA2199 is quick and easy way to go mobile, installing in minutes and covering 80 to 2 meters without swapping resonators or dealing with sensitive controllers. Simply choose your band using the unique top loading coil system, then fine-tune the whip length, minimum SWR. Built tough, but light enough to install on a wide range of lip, trunk, pipe, and mag mounts. You can also use it as a portable antenna for MCOM or POTA, marine, or vacation travel setups as well. They didn't say anything about SWOTA, Emil.
No swamps on there.
Probably work okay for that, though, I think.
Yep.
For a portable counterpoise, use a wire that's longer than a quarter wavelength at the operating frequency and spread it out on the ground or attach the coax shield to any large metallic structure such as a steel fence, metal railing, or walkway.
And you may be sort of familiar with this antenna design.
It looks like an outbacker.
Yes.
That's what I was going to say. It looks like an outbacker. Now, an outbacker was imported from Australia. I have an Outbacker Junior mm-hmm. over here that I used for years. You just take your wonder lead here is what they call it on Outbacker. I'm not sure what they call it here. But you select the band that you want, and you just use that banana plug it in whichever band you want to be on. Then you can tune it here, or if you've got a tuner on your rig, you know, you might just use it. Yeah, I'm sorry to hit you in the eye there, Emil. But it's an interesting antenna because the Outbackers were hundreds of dollars.
Yeah, I'm not even sure if they're available anymore, are they?
I don't think they're sold anymore.
I haven't seen anything about them in a long time.
Nope. So, that mine, I've forgotten what I paid for it. It was used, well used when I bought it. And I think I paid over $100 for it. So right now, tell me, Tommy, what would you give for this?
For that antenna?
Yeah. Your firstborn male child?
Yeah. maybe. No, not quite that much, but...
depends on when
I
ask.
Looks like a nice antenna.
Yeah.
I want to do a quote from Futurama.
Yeah?
Shut up and take my money.
$69.95.
Are you serious?
Wow.
Yes. $69.95 and what that's...
Okay, I'll say it again. Shut up and take my money.
Very.
Maybe I'm going to probably order one of
those. You know, you can use it as a mobile antenna, get you a PL259 style mount, screw it on there, use it on your mobile. You could get you a mount, put it on a tripod, run you a ground radio off of it, use it as a portable. A lot of different operations.
Yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah. Now, it's a portable or mobile antenna. You probably wouldn't want to use this as a base antenna.
No.
But for those...
It looks extremely well-made, too, by the looks of it.
It feels good, sturdy.
Where else are you going to get an antenna that covers HF... 6 meters, and VHF for under $100.
Nowhere, though.
So, we're going to be giving that away as well. Radio, power supply, multiband antenna. What else could a fella need?
Well, you need to hook the antenna up to the radio.
So maybe some coax.
Hey, that would be not perfect
just,
for
not
that.
Just any ordinary coax. No. Premium coax.
Not just any coax there. This is Massey and Filoni Airborne 5 coaxial cable.
Man, that's some nice looking coax. I like this. Yeah.
It's the same diameter as RG58CU, which is 5 millimeters. At 50 megahertz, its attenuation is 3.6 dB better per 100 meters. Perfect for direct burial. It's totally waterproof thanks to the PE carbon black tear-proof sheath. It weighs less than RG58.
Yeah, it's really light.
It's incredibly light, and it'll prove a great operational advantage and will ensure significant savings in shipping cost for de-expeditions. It's only 5 millimeters of diameter, but Airborne 5 is made with tough aluminum-magnesium alloy braid. It boasts a superlative robustness and inviolable resistance. So it's got the aluminum foil on there that's covered by a braid as well. And this has got the PL259 connectors installed as well. And these are not your regular PL259s. These are a little bit different right here.
They look like they're machined.
Yeah, they're easily installed, and soldering instructions are included if you bought the connectors. They come pre-installed on this cable. Dramatic suppression of background noise. No braid soldering needed. And it's got a new compression design with double seal that ensures better protection against infiltration of water, humidity, or condensation. And you might notice, you might not be able to see it here. That's like a nut. You can take a 19 millimeter wrench, and that actually fits on here. So if you've screwed it on too tight and you can't get it off, rather than grab a pair of pliers, just grab a 19 millimeter wrench, and you're set to go.
Yeah, that's nice, man. This stuff, it's just almost unnaturally light.
If you're going to be putting this in your backpack and walking around,
that's what you want.
That's what you'd want.
I'm going to order some of that, and I think I'm going to order one of these too.
Yeah, and it's got a couple of wraps there, Velcro style wraps. So perfect for your portable operations with the IC705.
Absolutely, that's really cool.
So we're going to be giving away that package on the next show. But we need to tell you how you might win that.
You need to be a licensed ham.
A licensed U.S. or Canadian amateur radio operator with a U.S. or Canadian shipping address.
Yep, and please do only one entry per contestant. Any more than one entry is going to disqualify you. The winner is responsible for any taxes incurred.
And the winner agrees to use his or her call sign and name and promotional and news-related items to the contest.
Contestants must not be an employee or affiliate of Amateur Logic or ICOM.
Or Gigaparts.
Yeah. Okay, how to enter? Send an email to contest2024, all one word, no spaces, at amateurlogic.tv with only your call sign in the subject line. Include your name, call sign, class of license, and address in the email message. Submissions must be made between Sunday, September 1st and Monday, October 14th, 2024.
We're going to do a random number drawing. We're going to see how many entries we get, plug it into random.org, and have it generate a number for us. And we're going to be announcing the winner on the October 18th episode of Amateur Logic.
That's just 1 month away.
If it's determined that the winning entry doesn't meet the qualification requirements, then we'll draw another winner using the same method. All the contest rules and information are posted at amateurlogic.tv/contest. The IC705, the Intellitron PS2230MLB power supply from Gigaparts, and the PA2199S compact multiband antenna, and 25 feet of Massey and Filoni Airborne 5 coax cable. What you should do right now, if you're watching this show, if you haven't already entered, contest is already open, and you can enter. The latest you can enter is October the 14th.
So you can enter it now. Go.
Yep. But only one time. If you enter it more than once.
Yeah. If you're not sure, is there autoresponder set up?
Yes.
Okay, so you should get an autoresponder back unless your spam filter gets it for some reason. If you don't get one, don't enter again to get yourself disqualified. Email George or myself, and we'll be glad to check it for you and make sure
and that's
you stay in the contest.
Just at our first name at amateurlogic.tv. You could even ask email and Mike, and they would do they'd do traffic for us, I think.
Oh, I'm sure they'd do traffic. Too.
Yes.
I'm at the Gigapart site right now because I'm really thrilled about that PA-2199. I guess I should mention, too, there is an optional connector instead of the male 258. You can get it with a 3/8 24 standard mount as well.
You can.
And I don't know if it was mentioned, but it'll handle 200 watts, so that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
Yep.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
And one other thing about that, at Gigaparts right now, to help us celebrate, they're giving you 5% off on items from the Intellitron, Explorer, and Massey and Poloni lines.
Perfect, because I'm going to order my stuff.
These three lines right here are exclusive to Gigaparts. All you got to do is use the code AMTV. And you can save 5%. So go to gigaparts.com/amateurlogic.
When this show goes live, I'll have that in the show notes as well.
So okay.
You can go to the show notes and you'll find the link in there.
Take a brief look because you may not have heard of this before. Intellitron, as I was mentioning earlier, power supplies, meters, tripods, got a Nixie tube.
Yeah, that caught my eye.
I saw that in the store. I came really close to buying one of them. It looks really cool.
Yeah. Antenna switches, more meters and power supplies.
Wow. Did we mention the designer that's now working for them?
Yeah, Stephen Pan, who worked with MFJ for years and years. He was one of the main most technical guys over there. He is now with Gigaparts and is helping bring this line together with them. Antenna mounts.
That's a good looking
mount. Duplexers.
Magnets on it. Yeah. That's a good price, too.
Yeah, it is. Clocks. Yeah, they had a couple of other clocks. I saw them at the Huntsville Hamfest. I like this one right here.
Yeah.
Really had a great look to it. Mobile antennas. They got hamstick antennas. Speakers. You know, that line of accessories that everybody, all the dealers carry at the Hamfest. Pretty much all those products, or the majority of them, are available from Intellitron at gigaparts.com. Also, they've got these guy wire rings that, you know, if you bought one of those fiberglass masts, you might have occasion for those, or even a metal mast. Explorer. I didn't know what this was, and I saw this when I was at Huntsville. This is a line of carry products here, 300-watt flexible solar panel. These Explorer module backpack systems look kind of interesting. It's just $59.95.
Yeah, the price certainly is right.
And it's got these other items that you can add to it. For $29.95, you can get the Explorer IP705V2 modular backpack add-on. So you could carry your IC705 in this. Now, you know, it's not going to be as heavy as that ICOM backpack, but economical option that you might want to explore. I haven't really looked through everything they've got, speaker, microphone, a lot of different packs.
Faraday. What's the Faraday sleeve?
Yeah, I guess you put your phone in there. And the Massey and Poloni. I have seen this stuff in person before where they had a display.
Oh, yeah.
With all these stretched out and stripped back where you can see them.
It's about as good as you can buy. I have never seen anything better.
No, it is.
In my mind, anyway.
Outstanding cable.
Yeah, I'm going to be buying me a piece of that for my 705 kit here. I'm definitely going to buy this antenna.
Yeah. And the connectors are great, too.
And I'm going to save 5% off of it, too.
Yep. Just use the code AMTV when you check out. I believe it's at checkouts where you would enter that. This is not all they're going to carry. There's a lot more coming.
Yeah.
In the last episode, I had an interview I did in there with Stephen Molo, and he talked a lot about it and what they're trying to do with that. So we appreciate them sponsoring it. Of course, we appreciate ICOM and the IC705 there, Ray Novak and the whole crew.
Best radio around, in my opinion.
Yep.
Yeah, well, we knew that was a winner from the very beginning when they announced it.
AmateurLogic.tv/contest. Go there, get all the details. You could be the lucky winner because we don't know who it's going to be, but it'll be somebody who enters. I know that much.
And like I said, I'll have the Gigaparts link in the show notes and the link to the IC705 so you can get more information on both of those.
Great. I think that's going to do it for tonight before we get out of here. Tommy, any final thoughts?
No. 73 and good luck in the contest.
Yep. Email, any thoughts from down there?
5-9.
Is it getting warm?
It is still warm a little bit. It's starting to have some fall days and weather, but you know what? Hurricane season is not over, so keep an eye on the Atlantic. They're still out there rolling this way.
And keep your hurricane lamp handy.
Yeah, and don't let the laser beam poke you in the eye.
That's what it looks like, yeah. Mike, any final thoughts from the lake?
Keep your head above water. Sure. Yeah. Stay out of the water is probably better.
don't go to Crystal
anyway,
Lake.
Anyway, it's been really great. And folks, don't forget to enter that contest.
Yeah, stay away from Crystal Lake.
George, I have one question for you.
Yeah.
Is Mrs. W5JDX missing her cricket mat?
No, that was mine.
Okay.
It wasn't hers. That was mine. That I used with the power supply project there.
Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. No, I had to buy one of those. When I saw it was self-healing, and as much as I like to use X-Acto knives, I had to have one.
I've got one.
All right. Join us back here on October the 18th for our 19th anniversary celebration. We're going to announce who won this. In the meantime, get your entries in now. AmateurLogic.tv/contest for all the details you need. Join us back here. And at the end of the month, it's going to be another episode of Ham College where we're studying for the Amateur Technician Exam. That will be
the 27th.
September the 27th. So join Professor Thomas and Dean Martin.
Jason probably won't be here that time.
No, it'll probably be a little late for him, I guess.
Yeah.
7-3.
Yep, 7-3, everybody.
7-3.
Good night.
7-3.
It comes with the nickel strips and actually the holders.
I hesitate to ask. I'm not familiar with that term, nipple strips.
Nickel.
Nickel. Okay. Excuse me. I'm
sorry. In the big nickel.
We're going to need to edit right there.
Oh, man.
I didn't understand what you were saying, man.